Welcome to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard weekly at this time on 1450 AM and 107.1 FM. Today's guests are Kim Thomas, Director of Strategic Initiatives at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership, and Jake Rao, VP of Economic Development at the Erie Regional Chamber and Growth Partnership. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Kim, let's start with you. How did your position at the DCED prepare you for your new role at the Chamber?
So in my previous life, my most recent life, I guess, I spent a little over 4 years as the regional director for the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development, so DCED. And I think working at the state level in the realm of community and economic development has provided me really almost a seamless transition into the role here at the Chamber. I had the opportunity to connect folks, to provide technical assistance, to be the collaborator, the facilitator. And that's kind of what I'm doing in this role here. I had the opportunity to work with and learn from some of the experts in the field of community and economic development at the state level on a number of different issues, whether it was community and neighborhood downtown revitalization, workforce development, which is what we're going to be touching on a lot here at the Chamber in this role. So I've seen firsthand how those folks at the state level who have years of experience and a lot of what I'm doing now have really taken their roles to the next level and provided resources and assistance really throughout the Commonwealth. So now if I can take some of what I learned there over the past 4+ years and bring some of that here, some of those relationships here, bring some of the maybe funding resource opportunities that haven't been utilized here maybe as much as they could be or should be, and just some of that knowledge from that role into this role, I think will be hopefully successful.
Kim, what are your responsibilities at the Chamber?
The title is Director of Strategic Initiatives, and really that gives us the opportunity to identify those priority initiatives that are sort of taking shape throughout the community, throughout the region, and as they align with the mission and goals of the Chamber, to really, again, provide that facilitator role, that connecting role, that collaborator role, bringing partners together, identifying resources, making sure that everyone's sort of on the same page as those priorities come to the top. In the initial years of this role, there will be a specific focus on workforce development. So that title of Director of Strategic Initiatives is really, at this time, Director of Workforce Development and Strategic Initiatives. So we've identified that throughout the county and throughout the region, there are a significant number of ongoing workforce development initiatives. So our goal is really going to be to try to identify those initiatives, perhaps identify some of the gaps in that space, what's working, what's not working, and really just to make sure that, again, everybody's on the same page, all the partners are talking with one another, resources are being used at the community level purposefully and as they should be utilized. So it's, again, it's really about just aligning efforts and making sure that we're able to grow the economy overall, and workforce development is going to be a specific focus of that role initially.
What does bringing this role to the Chamber mean to the members of the organization and the business community as a whole?
Sure. So overall, it gives them that additional voice at the table, especially when it comes to one of their greatest needs that they've identified, and that's workforce development. So we'll be working closely with the members to identify what those needs and challenges are at the workforce level, working with them as we create and implement a workforce attraction and training strategy, talent attraction strategy. Giving them the opportunity to have that seat at the table, whether it is the business leaders themselves or whether it is through them expressing their needs and challenges to me, and I'm able to then take that to the community. So it will, again, just add that level of voice that they need and deserve at the table, specifically right now when it comes to workforce development.
Thanks so much, Kim. Jake, let's bring you in here. Can you provide a broad overview of the Competitive Realities Report and target industry strategy for Erie County?
One of the roles that the Chamber plays for the region is business attraction. And before we can get into doing that in a constructive and linear way for the community, we needed to go to market and find a consultant that we could bring in that could really help us understand better where we sit in the national and global marketplace from a competitiveness standpoint. So we knew what areas we needed to focus some time and energy, perhaps through, for instance, the work that Kim Thomas is doing as our Director of Strategic Initiatives, or Amy Murdoch in Government Affairs, that would help make us more competitive. That's the Competitive Realities Report. And then the targeted industry analysis was around the idea that we can't be all things to all people. When you go to market, you have to know what markets you really feel like you can compete in and do research in there, build up your marketing and your pitch around those segments, and then go to market. So we hired Garner Economics. Garner Economics is a firm founded by a gentleman by the name of Jay Garner. He spent 20 years in economic development and chamber work, and then started his own site selection and consulting firm. So Jay is a nationally known site selection consultant. His specializations in the food industry and the agricultural industry. He's probably cited a couple $1 billion worth of projects over time, but he equally has an arm of his business that is about consulting with communities to help them position themselves in the best possible light for success in business attraction. And he's developed a very nice methodology and approach to what he does. So the first item that he did was he came to town and did what you call a windshield tour and spent the better part of a day seeing what we had to offer. He had done some preliminary data analysis of the Erie market and the real estate market. Then he had three focus groups. One was small businesses and entrepreneurs, another was public officials, and the third was mid and large-sized business owners to get input from them on their perceptions of the Erie market. And then he and his team went to work looking at 52 different variables that he evaluates as a site selection consultant in evaluating a community for a potential investment. Now, some might say, like, 52 variables, for God's sakes, what could he possibly be looking at? But many people believe that the site selection process really comes down to who has the best marketing, and nothing could be further from the truth. Marketing is just to get you on someone's radar screen. When they start getting into actually looking for locations, it's called site selection, but it really is site elimination. Site selectors are given a set of key variables that a company has to have in place to make a choice. It's almost like buying a house, right? You don't just give a realtor saying, find me any house. You give them a price range, you give them a size range, and you give them specifics like need to be in a good school district, need 4 bedrooms, need 2 baths, need an attached garage. Well, businesses do the same thing. And so the 52 variables we evaluated are 52 variables that commonly come up in a site search process. So they're going to look at your Class A and Class B office space availability. They're going to look at your industrial land availability. They're going to look at water and sewer capacity of the community, electric rates, gas rates. They're going to ask you about your building permitting process. They're going to ask you about your existing workforce. They're going to ask you about your unemployment rate. They're going to ask about wages in a variety of occupations. They're going to ask you about your secondary education system, about your higher education system, about your community college education system. They're going to ask about healthcare institutions. They're going to look at your availability, your geographic assets from the standpoint of, or I should say, transportation assets, your rail lines, your highways. And what he did was is he compared us to 52 variables. He compared us to Pennsylvania and the United States. And out of the 52, 30, we were better than the averages for Pennsylvania and the United States, which is good. 11 of the variables, we were neutral or on par. And then 11, we were behind. And the challenge of that is that any one of those variables where we are deficient could be the reason that a company decides not to locate here. And so that gives us a roadmap of areas where we need to focus some activity, perhaps to address our competitive disadvantage and better understand our competitive advantage. So that's the competitive reality side of the equation, which is a wonderful roadmap. And it's a very detailed report. It's about 125 pages, lots of statistical analysis and explanation of why the variable matters and how you should understand it and look at it. And we'll make that available on our website here in the near future. The second piece of it was then, based upon all of the assets of the community and seeing the community and being here and the demographic and economic analysis that he did, then Jay's charged with identifying industry sectors, targeted industries that make sense for us to go after. And so there's a he has this wonderful graphic, and it's desirability, which is one circle, and then the other circle is feasibility. And it's where they cross over, and that leads to your targeted outcomes. And so it's kind of aspirationally, where do you want to go? And then feasibly, where can you actually deliver? So the two circles very rarely overlap completely. They usually, there's just a little gap, there's a connection where they overlap. And he identified five major industry sectors. One would be life sciences. And that was really built around the healthcare institutions we have here and their significant investment, their size, their capabilities, combined with a medical school, a dental school, and a pharmacy school. He believes that there's a number of sectors where we can go in because of that unique asset mix and the size of our population to go after some companies that would want to locate here and take advantage of that, and also our higher educational institutions. High-value business services, because that would be someone on not necessarily on the same scale, but of a similar nature to Erie Insurance, where you're attracting businesses from the financial sector, the insurance sector, could be any number of professional services that you'd want to attract here and there, be interested because of our geographic proximity to some bigger markets and our lower cost of doing business. Food and beverage processing, agriculture. We have some very unique assets relative to water and sewer here that are absolutely critical to food and beverage processing. High value added manufacturing. Manufacturing operations are getting smaller but more expensive to build. And the reason is because they are using more and more capital or equipment in the production process, and you need to have talented people who can run those machines. So while the facility footprint might be smaller, the actual capital cost of building those and outfitting them with people is rising. So, and then the last would be a subsector of the high-value business services, and that's the technology, gaming, and digital arena. And we have some unique assets there. We have unique assets in Edinburgh and their computer animation, in Barrand and their computer programming, and Gannon and cyber, and in Mercyhurst in both their cyber and their intelligence studies. And so those assets there, combined with all the engineers that we produce through Gannon and Barrand, put us in a unique position. And that's another one. The engineering talent that we produce on an annual basis here is very significant, and it's something that manufacturing also is attracted to. The manufacturing sector is also attracted to our deep supply chain. And then the last kind of area that he recommended was year-round tourism assets. So really looking at, you've got basically three quarters of the year covered. What can you add to the mix in this community so that you get a four-quarter blend of tourists coming to the Erie area? And that one will probably be working in partnership more with like Visit Erie and local municipal governments to try and figure out what's a legitimate thing, what assets could we legitimately add to the landscape. He then basically said, here are the things you need to take action on in order to realize this. And he basically categorized them into three areas: asset development, communicating the brand, and executing effectively. And on asset development, I guess his biggest takeaway, if there was one out of the whole place, is that we need to develop more sites and buildings. If he said it once, he said it 100 times to us through this process. He has coined a phrase that's used quite a bit in economic development circles and site selection circles that says, no product, no project. And the simple explanation is, if you don't have the site ready to go, if you don't have the building ready to go, the project's not coming to your community. So you have to be prepared. You can't tell someone, hey, we could do that for you, give us 12 months and we'll have the land or the building available. That's not how it works. So he recommended that we look very seriously into taking the steps at the state level and local level, meaning the county and the municipalities, of implementing a dedicated half a cent to 1 cent sales tax for what he calls infrastructure investments. That would be buying land and building industrial parks, constructing manufacturing facilities that we would own and lease, or we would build them and then sell them, just kind of like a spec builder would do homes, to manufacturing operations or office buildings. And also to put in the requisite infrastructure in areas where perhaps there's potential, but it's not where it should be. That would be water, sewer, gas, electric, and telecommunication lines. So the tax would generate about $16 million a year, and all of that money would be dedicated to these infrastructure investments to help build up the product that we have to offer. We have a lot of assets here, but right now, if someone came to me and said, I need 100,000 square feet of Class A office space, and I would like to be in that space within, you know, the next 12 months, I have to say thank you, nice seeing you, and away they go, because we do not have 100,000 square feet of Class A office space. And if somebody came to us and was looking for a 50-acre industrial park parcel to build a manufacturing operation that was fully equipped with water, sewer, gas, and electric, I'd have to tell them, it was nice talking to you, and watch them go down the road, because we don't have that. And a lot of people, I think, look at the Erie market and say, we got all these buildings, you know, how can that possibly be? Modern manufacturing facilities pretty much all have to be 30 foot minimum under roof. That's what the market's asking for. We have a lot of manufacturing space that's older. It may be 14 to 20 foot high ceilings. So even when facilities become available, they're not necessarily the optimal manufacturing space that you'd like. In addition, any building that has decent assets in the market has been purchased, it's owned, and it's being utilized, or it's being upgraded. So there aren't many facilities coming onto the market. And when they do, we actively shop them. I mean, there's no hesitation there. So we're very shy in product. And so his first recommendation was add sites and buildings and get a dedicated stream so that you can consistently deliver what you need and build up a universe of ready-to-go sites and buildings. He also made a recommendation we need to enhance the gateways into the city, that you need to make sure that when people are coming into your community, that they have a feeling that they're entering a special place. And that again, would be something that could be covered through this dedicated fund. The next one was about communicating the brand. And he talked about the need for Erie to, as an entire community, commit to and stand behind a brand to go to market with. And that brand is what we would be using in our marketing to the external world, whether it be through publications or online presence, sponsoring things, that there needs to be a brand that is definitively Erie. And right now we have lots of logos and we have lots of taglines for organizations, but Erie does not have a brand. And we need to come up with that brand, and all of the other parties involved need to support that brand and wrap it into their own marketing efforts. But the way I describe it is that you need a central gateway to come into Erie. And online, especially, we need that brand to be that centralized gateway. I told this story this morning that I grew up next to the Mercer's University campus. So I know every possible way you can enter that campus. But if you're from outside of Erie and you're going to visit Mercyhurst, you're going through the main gateway off of 38th, and it is designed and quite impressive and beautiful, and it makes you feel as though you're entering into a special place. Now, you can enter the campus off of Parade Street. You can enter the campus off of Briggs Avenue, but you can't, you know, that. So those, it doesn't mean that people won't find us or come to Erie through other organizations. But in general, the larger world needs to come through Erie, come to Erie through our centralized brand. So we need to do that, and then once we have that brand, then it's about meeting with site selection consultants and making sure they know what we have to offer. It's about contracting with a firm to generate leads for us, because there's millions of companies, and we've got to go find just the companies in our targeted industry sectors that are in growth and expansion mode and get in front of them 24 to 36 months before they pull the trigger, because you have to be in their consideration set and on their radar screen way in advance before they're going to make a decision to spend millions of dollars to locate here in Erie. And then we need to make sure that our key business leaders in town know what we're doing and what we have to offer, so that when they're talking to their clients, their customers, suppliers, their family members, their friends, anyone who's out there, they need to be able to say, hey, come to Erie. And the greatest example of that is Tim Nicastro recently talked to Value Momentum and said, you need to set up your new, you know, your new operations center in Erie. And if he hadn't done that, they wouldn't have looked at Erie. But because he did, they took a hard look at Erie as what they looked at other places, and Erie ultimately won, and that's 100 to 150 jobs that are going to pay excellent wages in the tech sector here in Erie, Pennsylvania. And then the last piece of it is he told us that we need to grow the staff of the Chamber on Economic Development, which we've already done through some key hires, Kim Thomas being one, Amy Murdoch in Government Affairs, Amanda Kachirka in programming, Leslie Ridge Allen in business outreach. So we've added bodies knowing that we had to do that, and we will likely add, you know, one or two more to help us execute this overall plan. And the last piece is one of the biggest areas that we have a weakness out of those 11 weakness areas was around workforce. And so one of the first initiatives out of the gate will be to do a workforce, an existing workforce assessment. And our labor market area for Erie is actually well beyond the county of Erie. So when you start looking at a labor market area, you're looking at a 45-minute drive time. And when you do that, as Garner did, it isn't like a half a circle. It is a very detailed analysis of how long does it take for people to get here. And it weaves from over in Ashtabula County down into Crawford County, through Warren County, and into Chautauqua County. And so our labor market area, our labor force area here is about 130,000, 131,000. But when you look at the labor market area that services Erie, it's more like 180,000. That's significant. That's 50 more thousand workers that we can talk about that are in the region that we can talk to employers about. So this is an action plan. This isn't a plan in the sense. This is like now we have steps that we have to take to follow up, but it provides us with a much clearer definition of where we need to go and spend our time and energy, but it's far from the level of detail that we, you know, will be operating under. We're going to get very granular in the whole process as we go forward.
Is this the first time you retained Garner Economics for this report, and why now?
When James came on board, he and I sat down and he said, put together a 3 or 4 page, you know, tell me what you think we need to do. And so I put together a 3 or 4 page document where I outlined the steps that I felt we needed to take. And he and I sat down and I would say we were aligned on 90% of the action items that needed to happen in Erie. What James did a very good job of is kind of ordering them and prioritizing them. So the first was we said, and then what we did is we took those components that were there. And we had an invitation from the Community Foundation to reach out to them, the Erie Community Foundation, and saying, once James is on board, figure out what you'd like to ask for assistance to help jumpstart the economic development revitalization effort of the region. And so we took components off of that kind of outline of what we knew needed to happen, and we put the following components into that grant application, and the Erie Community Foundation funded it. First, we needed to bring a firm in to do a feasibility study of how we can raise the dedicated funds for a 5-year campaign to support economic development. And so that grant paid for that feasibility, and the feasibility was completed, and we're in the process now of kind of building out what will be a campaign for the next 5 years to support the operations of an economic development effort here at the Chamber. Really, it's here at the Chamber, but it's for all of the region. The second was we needed to do a targeted industry analysis. We knew we had to get that done, hence that's where Garner comes in. And Garner hasn't done work here before, but both of us have known Jay. Jay has worked with James in other communities, so he knew his work, he knew his product. The third was we needed financial support for the Opportunity Zone effort. And we had created this flagship Opportunity Zone Development Company, and the Community Foundation supported that. And the last piece was workforce, so the workforce assessment that I'm talking about. So everything that the foundation, everything that they said, what do you need funding for? And we submitted, and they approved the funds, provided us with the funds. We've now executed on every one of them, or they're in it being executed on presently and moving those forward. It's a very methodical approach. If I was describing it, I would say opportunity zones are very unique, quicker hit, right? It's a window in time right now that this tool is new. There's a timetable to it to max out the benefit, which is to get the maximum benefit, you need to have an investment in committed to by the end of this calendar year. Erie is dramatically ahead of the curve, dramatically, and that is not hyperbole on my part. That is, I was at a conference in California sitting at a round table, opportunity zones came up, somebody saw I was from Erie, and they were from Arizona and Oklahoma, and they both knew that we were at the top of the totem pole on that. So we have a distinct advantage, and that is exciting. It will be significant for Erie. So that's kind of, but that doesn't happen every year. What we're working on is the sustainable, for decades going forward, economic development program. So it has to be very methodical, has to be very well thought out, and you have to be very deliberate in what you want to get done. Because to play in the sandbox, you have to have resources. And if you have to spend your resources on things that you know are going to deliver value and success. And if you do it right, you'll start getting the success. And then with that, not only will the community benefit, but businesses here will benefit, and they will continue to support it. So we're being very we're not being slow. We're just being very deliberate and know what steps have to be taken, and we're executing on them. And in the history of my life in Erie and economic development, there hasn't been this level of comprehensive, collaborative economic development activity with a focus on sustainability.
What is the greatest hope that you'll be able to use the report for and the benefit it will provide members?
So in the near term, it would be that if we can secure and get the community if we can get the commitment of a dedicated stream of funds to help us build out the infrastructure of the region to be ready for investments. And that means the land and the buildings and the infrastructure. If we can get the community to understand that and commit to that, we then have the ability to truly go out and compete for projects. And at first they will be modest in size, but if we do it right, then we can go after bigger projects and have more success. So out of this report, that would be absolutely the home run ball would be that transforms Erie. That puts us truly onto the playing field with a chance to really effectively compete. That would be out of this report. But the long-term vision is that we want to get Erie to the point where we have all this product in place and the community is growing and thriving to where economic development becomes more of an order-taking and customer service process. In other communities, the phone in Columbus, Ohio, business attraction is not about hunting down the rare buffalo. It is about managing the number of projects coming at them and deciding who they want to really dedicate and go after and secure. They may have some dream projects, but in general, the phone's ringing up and people are trying to get in there. And honestly, you'd think, like, there's no way this can be. There's some projects where they, like, don't put a lot of time and energy on that because that's not our priority target area. If we could get, I mean, now that's long-term vision, but the places that are thriving, they're not hunting. They are managing, right? They're managing people who are ready to open up their checkbook and invest and grow jobs there. That's where we ultimately want to go. That's going to be well down the road. But in the near term, we are getting ourselves into position to start competing, and that's one of the most exciting things that's happened in my career here in Erie.
Thanks for listening to Business Spotlight on Money Radio WPSE. Business Spotlight is heard Fridays at noon. Join us again next week as Logistics Plus is in the Business Spotlight.